name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You ever had that experience where you're out in public somewhere and you see someone at the store or in another, walking across the room, and you say, I think I know that person. They look familiar to you, but you just can't quite put your finger on it. Who are they? Maybe you've had somebody come up to you and speak with you. Maybe introduced to you by somebody else, and again, you think, I've met this person somewhere before, but I just don't remember where. You're wondering, who are they, and how do I know them? Maybe you had that experience today, as Jesus describes someone with these words. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Sounds familiar. Just who is it that Jesus is introducing to each of us? And as you listen to Jesus' description of this person, perhaps you have another reaction. When you see someone else, don't know, care if they're a stranger to you, or even if they're one of your loved ones, and you hear the description of them as being overwhelmed with blessings. I mean, after all, Jesus uses 8 times this word, blessed are. What's your reaction when you behold the blessings that are being showered on someone else? Now, of course, the Apostle Paul in his writings reminds you that you should always rejoice with those who rejoice. He also says you should weep with those who weep. But that's not always your reaction, is it? You're not always happy when you see others having great blessings. In fact, God knows that, according to your sinful nature, that is not always, and maybe not even as often as it should be, your reaction. That's why you have things like the 9th commandment, which remind you, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Likewise, the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his cattle, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. In other words, God knows your sinful heart often leads you to begrudge the blessings that fall upon others, and even to covet them. In the Small Catechism, Luther, though, tells you what these commandments mean. We should fear and love God, that we may not craftily seek to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, nor obtain it by a show of right. Similarly, in the 10th commandment's explanation, we should fear and love God, that we may not estrange, force, or entice away from our neighbor his wife, servants, cattle, but urge them to stay and do their duty. Not only does the commandment teach you that you should rejoice when you witness the blessings falling upon others, you should encourage those blessings to remain with those you behold them in. And then, of course, we must think of the 7th commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Again, the explanation reminds you not only what you shouldn't be doing with regards to that which belongs to your neighbor, but also what you should be doing. We should fear and love God, that we may not take our neighbor's money or goods, nor get them by falseware or dealing, but help him to improve and protect his property and business. And yet, as you think of the blessings that Jesus describes of this one that seems so familiar, maybe as you think of those blessings, you aren't actually coveting them. I mean, after all, who wants to be blessed by being poor in spirit? Blessed by mourning? blessed by being meek, blessed by hungering and thirsting after righteousness, blessed by being merciful, pure in heart, or being a peacemaker. Maybe you're even thinking to yourself, I'll just let those blessings stay with whoever Jesus is describing. Now, who is this that Jesus speaks of in such blessed terms? Does it sound like somebody you know? Yes, he is. He is somebody very well known to each of you. For in fact, you bear his name. Christian. It's Jesus. Jesus is the one who is poor in spirit. Jesus is the one who mourns. Jesus is the one who is meek. Jesus is the one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Jesus is the one who is merciful. He is the one pure in heart. He is the peacemaker. And yes, he is the one who is persecuted for righteousness' sake. In this Epiphany season in which you now walk with Jesus, you hear about how all of those things are fulfilled in Jesus, in his holy life, in his acts of mercy and kindness towards those to whom he comes. Yes, in this Epiphany season, we hear much about how Jesus shows mercy by healing the sick, driving out demons, giving sight to the blind, and yes, even raising the dead. But we also hear of how Jesus gathers people unto himself and teaches them the word of God. This morning, in the intro for the day, you prayed the very familiar words of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Yes, even these words of blessedness describe Jesus in their fullness. For he is the one who, even in his desire to be a student of the very word of which he is the author, in his human nature, devotes himself not only to the hearing of his word, but also the teaching of that word. He draws men unto himself, because through that word which he teaches, he gives his life and he gives his salvation. Yes, indeed, these blessed descriptions describe Jesus to a T, especially that final blessing that you have heard, the one who is persecuted for righteousness' sake. When Jesus came to be baptized by John, though John wished to prevent him, Jesus said, "Permit it now, for it is good for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus completed and fulfilled all righteousness, not just by being baptized, not just by living a holy life, but by suffering lies and accusations and persecution and even death, all for righteousness' sake. A righteousness which was already his, but a righteousness which he also desires to give to you. See, I've left out the last of the blesseds this morning, because as you listen to the description of these blessings, it's not just Jesus that you should recognize. Because you see, Jesus also describes those who are in him. Jesus says in his final beatitude, "Blessed are you who are, when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you." But that's not where it stops. Yes, He describes in your life the things that are very similar in His life. And here's the reason why. Because the final words of this beatitude are these: on my account. You see, these blessings are yours because you are in Christ. You have been baptized into Christ, and therefore you share in everything that He is and everything He has done for you. In today's epistle lesson, St. Paul the Apostle reminded you, He, that is Jesus, is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. You see, you should covet these blessings, not in a sinful way, but you should desire the very blessings which Jesus has described, because they are Jesus' blessings. And in Christ, they have become yours. Why is this so important? Because of what these blessings promise. You see, with each of the blessings that describes the now comes that which is promised in the future. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's already yours now, and it will be for eternity. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. As you mourn over your trespasses and sins, perhaps even as you mourn over the consequences of sin in your life, sickness and disease, and yes, even death, Jesus promises those who are blessed in Him, they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. The meek are those who in humility acknowledge their sin and guilt. But, as Jesus says, where Christ's forgiveness is found and the promise of eternal life, He says, they shall inherit the earth. Not this earth, but the new earth that will be created on the last day, in which righteousness will dwell for eternity. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You hunger and thirst for Christ and His Word, and He gives that to you as you hear and study the Word of God. And Jesus says, you will never go hungry, but in fact, blessed are you, for you will be satisfied, filled, because the Word of God never runs out of the fullness that it gives us in Christ our Lord. Blessed are the merciful, as you are merciful to your neighbor, as you live like Christ and in communion with Christ. Jesus promises you shall receive mercy, and you already have. For God has been merciful to you in Christ through the forgiveness of your sins and the promise of everlasting life. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Well, you know your heart isn't pure, and yet in Christ, whose heart is always perfect and pure, God has reconciled you to Himself, and He has declared your heart clean, even as you pray following this sermon, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. For those with such a clean heart in Christ, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Our world is filled with anything but peace, and that peacelessness often extends into our daily lives, into our homes, into our relationships at work and in the community. But God has called you in Christ to be at peace, not only with God, but with your neighbor. And so Christ calls you in Himself to be like Him, to be a peacemaker. And God promises you, you shall be called sons of God, just as you were called when you were baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For once again, Jesus returns to this great promise. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven isn't somewhere out there in the heavens. The kingdom of heaven is right here and now. For you heard it in the preaching of John. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is at hand wherever Christ is found. It is found here in his church on earth. The kingdom of heaven is yours, and it will be yours for eternity. So, dear child of God, do you recognize this person? It is Christ, and it is you in Christ. You are blessed because you have been baptized into Christ. You are blessed because you have heard and believed Christ's word of mercy and forgiveness. You are blessed because today you hear the voice of Jesus promising you great blessings as he invites you to himself with these words, "Blessed are you as you come and eat of my flesh and drink of my blood for the forgiveness of your sins." Rest assured, you know this one well, for you are the one Jesus describes with these great blessings. And for those of you who are blessed in Christ, rest assured, this final blessing rests upon you. Jesus says to you who are blessed, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.